Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 is where we will be at. So, how's your attitude today? Good. It's a good day to have a good attitude since we're talking about attitudes. How has your attitude been this past week? Okay, who can tell me the four attitudes that we've already considered? Doubt, of course, I'll take that one. What else? Where were the other three? Criticism, yes. Yep, being critical. Complaining. So yeah, unthankful, complaining. And criticism's been mentioned. Yep. Sorry, I wasn't being critical of you or anything. Okay, so we're on number four right now, okay? Doubting. That's what we looked at last week. We have one more attitude to go after this week. But doubt is an attitude. Now, all of these things, just a reminder, we're talking about attitudes, not just the actions. It starts with an attitude. And an attitude, remember, it's a pattern of thinking formed over a long period of time. So we have this pattern of thinking. So doubt is to be replaced with, you see it on the screen, faith. If you have a doubting attitude, a pattern of thinking formed over a long period of time, then you need to replace that with faith. When we have a momentary attitude of doubt, we need to replace that with faith. Sometimes we go through a season, depending on what's going on in our life, where there's doubt. We need to replace that with an attitude of faith. So let's talk for a moment. Oh, what is faith? Someone give me your idea of what faith is. Oh, he's quoting Hebrews 11:1. Stop it, Sunday school answer boy. All right. Without quoting the Bible, Raymond, okay, someone give me faith. Go. Yeah, okay. Now, let's go a little deeper with that. A definition of faith without using the word faith. Can you do that? Believing? Okay. And sometimes we'll throw the word trust in there as a replacement for faith. Let's talk about what faith is not first, before we unfold that word faith. Faith is not like an ostrich with its head in the sand, just ignoring the obvious, okay? Your house is on fire, and you're sitting there watching TV, and you know, I'm just going to have faith that everything's going to work out okay. No, get out, okay? That's not faith. That's called what? Stupidity, right? Right. It's not pretending that something is real when deep down you don't really believe that it's real. Okay? That's fear, not faith. Faith is not anti-intellectual. Now, here's what I mean by that. It's not, sometimes people have the idea of faith has nothing to do with intellectual or knowledge, facts, reality, okay? It's based on feeling. Faith is not a warm feeling that requires you to check your brain at the door, okay? That's feeling, not faith. Faith is not just a positive attitude. Can you think of an expression or a cliche that would fall into that category where faith is just a positive attitude? Maybe go back to, and I was a boy at this time, like the 60s and 70s, what was the phrase? What? Oh, you're not going to say it out loud. Okay. Keep the faith. Just keep the faith, brother, okay? That was said a lot. Or you just got to keep believing, just keep believing, just keep believing. That's just a positive attitude is all we're generating. That is not faith. That's foolishness. So faith is rooted in a God who is real. You just got to believe. In what? Right? So faith is rooted in a God who is real. It's based on a person, the creator God of the universe, who is with you right this very moment and loves you. And yesterday when your whole world was falling apart, he was with you right that very moment and loved you right that very moment. So we're going to look at tonight what will, it's going to seem like several definitions of faith, but as we do, each one is going to bring out different aspects of that word faith to help us understand more fully what it is. So let's start with this definition. Faith is active confidence in the God who has revealed himself. Faith is active confidence in the God who has revealed himself. So let me say it this way. Everyone has faith. Do you believe that? Okay, so those of you that are shaking your heads yes and saying yes, who wants to explain why what I just said is true? Yes, thank you, Dan. Yep, we all have the capacity, the ability to trust. Every single one of us does. But what we base our faith on is what makes the difference. Let's see how God defines it. So let's look at the prescription of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, which you've already heard part of it, thanks to Raymond. Jumping the gun on us there. Hebrews 11, 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, just a minute ago, I had that definition up there. Faith is active confidence in the God who has revealed himself. We're going to come back to that in just a minute and start pulling that apart. But let's look at this verse here. Closer at two words in this verse, the word substance and evidence. Understanding those two words is key to understanding the truth that's being taught in this verse. And understanding the truth is key to us understanding how to apply this verse, okay? So faith is substance. Now, let me explain, because we do this all the time. We do faith is substance all the time. Well, most people do. You go online, let's say Amazon, okay? You go online and you buy something. You type in your credit card number, expiration date, the three numbers on the back. Why have those three numbers? Because we have to give them out everywhere we go. But anyway, you type all that in and then click. You just bought something. Where is it? It's still somewhere in China, right? Or in a cargo ship off the shore or somewhere. You just paid for it. You don't have it yet. So where is that thing that you just bought? They said they would send it to you. Do you remember the first time you bought something online? You're like, I hope this works. Or the first time you paid one of your bills electronically. It's like, I hope this goes through, or they're shutting my water off, you know. But something happens when you buy something online. They said they're going to send it to you. And maybe it's your first time. You're like, really? What if they don't? Well, you have faith that they will, don't you? Otherwise, you wouldn't do it. But what is the substance of that faith that you have that they're going to send you what you already paid for? What would the substance of that faith be? You have a receipt, transaction number that shows you paid for it. When you go online and you pay your utility bill online, you're getting a transaction number. That's it. That's the thing that's going to make sure I get what I paid for. That's the substance of your faith right there. Now, the spiritual world operates the same way. We take a need before God, my faith, okay, my, going back to our definition, my active confidence in God is the thing that I hold on to while I wait to see how God is going to answer my prayer. He is the substance of my faith. He maybe will change the circumstances for me. Or if it's not a yes that I want, he changes me in the process. So faith is a substance, okay, that we place in God for the thing that we haven't gotten yet. Now, that verse also says that faith is evidence. Okay, this is different. The reason that I know the product is going to be delivered is that I've done this a million times already. How many of you buy something online more than once a week? Nobody? Oh, come on. Yeah, there's a couple hands. Don't point at your spouse. Come on. How many do it more than once a day? Joe, point at her now. Yeah. Just hang out here in the lobby during the week. I mean, we're constantly getting stuff online. We don't even think twice about it anymore. Why? Because we've done it before. And so my past experiences are the evidence that I hold on to. Now, in the spiritual sense, faith is also the evidence that God is faithful. Our past experiences. Did you know that we're not the first people to trust God? People have been trusting God for thousands of years. Psalm chapter 90 and verse 1. Listen to this. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Do you see what the psalmist wrote there? He says, thou hast been. So the psalmist is standing here and he's looking back at the evidence. Faith is the evidence of what God has already done for them. We can look back and we can see the faithfulness of God in generations past. Spend some time in Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, okay? And all of those people that we have recorded for us. But not only that, just look back and see where God has shown himself faithful to you over the years. That's the evidence of things not seen right now in front of us. So let's take another statement of faith here, okay? This is a statement that we can really live by, or in other words, live out our faith. Faith is believing the word of God and acting upon it no matter how I feel because God promises a good result. There's the first part. We're going to break that statement all apart. I think I have that in your notes too, what I just read. Faith is believing the word of God, acting upon it, no matter how I feel, because God promises a good result. All right, let's take that first part. Faith is believing the word of God. Believing is something that is really strong. It's placing all your eggs in one basket. That's kind of a visual image of believing there, okay? Complete believing. You are 100% in. No hesitations. No backup plans in case this one doesn't work out, okay? Believing. So looking at that, faith is believing the word of God. So I am believing 100% in the word of God. I have no backup plans in case this Bible thing doesn't work out or in case, yeah, I see this verse, it says to do that. But just in case, I'm going to have another plan B over here. So I have faith, but in what? According to our definition, our statement we're looking at, I have faith in the word of God. I am not believing in the newspapers. I'm not believing in talk shows. I'm not believing in my neighbor, what he says, my boss, CNN, Facebook. I'm not believing what I feel is the right thing. Everything is in the Word of God. I know that I can trust God because of Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Okay, God cannot lie. So he gives us all these promises in the Word of God that we doubt, don't we? Not all of them, but there are some that we doubt. We don't have all our eggs in one basket. And I know I can trust God. Faith is believing the Word of God. Do you believe the Word of God? Okay. Do you have faith? We'll start with that question. Well, do you believe the Word of God? That's the first step. What if someone says, well, if I think I believe, is that faith? What would you say to a person? They say, well, you know, I think I believe. Do they have faith? Well, here's how you can know for sure, if it's you or even someone else. Faith in the Word of God is this. Faith is acting on the Word of God. I think I believe. Is that faith? Then you would follow up the question, well, are you acting on the Word of God? There's all kinds of things that we say we believe, but don't really believe them because they don't show up in our life. Do we act on what we say we believe? Let me give you some examples of what that would look like in our faith community realm. For example, in the area of families, okay? Maybe you're married to an unbelieving spouse or a spouse that's not where you want them to be spiritually, okay? And what do? Well, you send them links to sermon videos every morning, text them a link to a sermon video, okay? You have... ladies, if you pack your husband's lunch, I don't know, does that sound chauvinistic? I don't know. If you pack your spouse's lunch, you drop tracks in there. So when they eat their lunch, it's like, oh man, she's at it again, right? Or hound them about going to church with you. Constantly correct them about what they're doing that's not being done the way you think it should be done according to what you believe the Bible says. And man, you are just always on them. Here is a very, very powerful tool that you can use. Get all those out of the house. Don't do those anymore, because we're going to have faith, which is believing the Word of God. I say I believe the Word of God, but do I have faith? Well, faith is acting on the Word of God. Here's what you do. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, God wrote this. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, so that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, the lifestyle of the wives. Did you hear what that said there? Without the word. Stop. Believe the verse. There is a power that we can't quantify in a spouse, and I'm not going to say a wife and a husband, just a spouse living according to the Word of God, and the power that example has to influence the other spouse. And you don't even have to say anything. It says to be, they will be won or influenced not by words, but by the lifestyle. This is saying nothing. This is living the Bible before them without speaking a word. The way a person lives is a more powerful tool of influence than their words are. And By the way, this is God's plan. We believe God's plan, don't we? Okay, do we act on what God says when it comes to this area of families? Okay, how about this one? Finances. Trust God to meet our daily needs. That's faith. While giving tithes and offerings. That's the action. Acting on our belief. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." In Malachi, it's the only place in the entire Bible. It takes a lot of people a whole year to read through the entire Bible, okay, like 15 minutes a day or whatever. The only place in the Bible where you will see God telling us, go ahead, test me on this. Give me your tithes and your offerings. Test me and see if I don't open up the windows of heaven and pour down blessings on you. He says, go ahead, call my bluff. That's my words there. It's the only place in the Bible, the only time, the only topic that God says, come on, just test me. I want to show you that you're wrong and I'm right on this. Do we act on what we say we believe? Okay. How about this area? We'll call it fulfillment. This is more of our emotions, mental status. Lonely, discouraged with your life or the direction of your life, disappointed, maybe feel like you don't have any friends, feels like nobody likes you. And what happens with people? They turn to substances to compensate for those feelings. Or they turn to relationships to meet those feelings, those needs that they have. And I'm not necessarily saying illicit relationships, but they will look to human relationships to meet those needs. Some will turn to activities. Oh, they just got to stay busy. I need to get involved in this and this and this. And they're running all over the place and they're doing great until they stop. And then all those feelings come back in. Some people turn to more stuff, okay? So they therapeutic shopping, I think is what it's called. To make themselves feel better. Or therapeutic eating to make themselves feel better. But do we believe the Bible? Okay. Do we act on it? Let's look at this verse, Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Acting on God's word. That's when we can say we have faith in God's word. So faith is believing the word of God and acting on it. Now, no matter how I feel, was another part of our statement. We feel like if I could just say the right thing, that would bring someone to Christ. Have you ever thought that? I think sometimes we don't say anything to a person about Jesus because we don't want to say the wrong thing. Well, let me give you an idea of what the wrong thing is, okay? The wrong thing is telling them, hey, if you come to church, you get to go to heaven. Well, we know that's the wrong thing, right? The wrong thing would be saying, hey, if you just give money to this cause, you'll be a good person and you get to go to heaven. We wouldn't say that, okay? But we know the wrong thing, so we can, by process of elimination, we know what the right thing to say is, but I don't know if I'll say it the right way. And so we don't say anything at all then. Or sometimes we think, if I could just say the right thing, that would bring someone back to Christ. Just figure out the right way to say it. We feel that sometimes giving a consistent offering is just unrealistic. I just don't feel like that's going to work. Folks, faith has nothing to do with how we feel or our emotions. Because the next part of our statement, God promises a good result. Okay, so looking through what we've just done, you might be thinking, wow, what would your letter grade be if we were testing, giving you a grade on that? A, B, C, D, E, F? I said E. Well, actually, in my school, we had E's, not F's. I don't know. It was just weird. But did we pass with flying colors? Okay, so how to build your faith. How do you build your faith? How many of you would say that our country is the land of promise? The promised land? Nobody? Okay. As great as it is, this ain't heaven, folks. Okay? And I don't care how popular anybody is that says this is your best life. No. This ain't it. This isn't the United States, this earth, our existence, our life. This isn't our eternal homeland, okay? Don't live like a citizen. Live like a visitor, because that's what we are. You know, I've tried to express that before in different times in the past, like on mission trips. I'm just a visitor. When the first time this kind of ran through my mind, when I was in Ireland, all I wanted to do was go home. I mean, it was a great time. I loved ministering there. I loved the sights. I loved the food. Even the food in Haiti. That was good. I just wanted to go home. I didn't care what was going on in the country. I didn't care what the standard of living was. I didn't care what the housing market was doing. I didn't care about the interest rate. I didn't care what the banks were doing. I didn't care about the price of gas. I didn't care about the politics. I was just a visitor. And none of that affected my mood at all. None of that did. Don't live here like a citizen. We're visitors. So here's three steps to build your faith. One, you've got to cultivate your faith, okay? Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. If you want to build your faith, there's three steps for you right here. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How to build your faith, okay? So faith comes to us by hearing the word of God, according to that verse. What is that in reality? That is time in the Bible. Grows our faith. The more time you spend in the Bible, the more your faith grows. Faith grows by spending time in the Bible, hearing the word of God, of course, submitting yourselves to Bible preaching. So if we find ourselves filled with anxiety, doubt, stress, fear, faith comes from being in God's word. If your spiritual diet for the week is only what you take in on a Sunday, you are starving yourself. And it's no wonder that your faith is weak. Second thing to do, confess your faith, okay? That's not my idea. God came up with this one, so I guess it's going to be a good one, right? Here it is. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Those of you that have accepted Christ as your Savior, what's the greatest thing that's ever happened to you in your life? Yes, absolutely. What's the next greatest thing that happened to you in your life? Forgiveness of sins, okay. So after you're saved, forgiveness of sins, mercy, grace, all of that, we'll put that all in one ball of wax here. Joe, what's the next greatest thing to you in your life? Careful how you answer. Yes, getting married, right? Okay, and what would be the next greatest thing in your life? Kids, they're not here. You didn't have to say that, but okay, kids. I might skip that and just say grandkids. Yeah, yeah. The kids were a conduit to get the grandkids. They were a necessary evil, maybe. Okay? Oh, wow. Okay, so how about you? The next greatest thing in your life. Maybe it's the house you live in, or the motorcycle, or this thing you just bought, or a great sale you got. Why am I doing all that? What do we talk about during the week? Oh, this great sale I found. Oh, I got these new shoes. They're amazing. You're not going to believe the price. I'm just, not me, really. Or we talk about all these things. What's the greatest thing? We are saved. Eternal life. Do we ever talk about it? What did this verse say? Thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. If you want your faith to grow, okay, confess your faith. Tell people about your faith. Instead of talking about the sale you got or this or that, tell, not that those things are wrong, but tell people about your faith in God. The more you tell a person, or the more you tell people about how you trust God, guess what's going to happen? You're going to trust God more. Your faith will grow the more you confess that faith. So that's the second thing to growing your faith. Here's the third thing. Corner your faith. Corner, yep, C-O-R-N-E-R, corner, kind of like the corner of a room. Back that faith into a corner. Now, Carlton, you're next, okay? You get backed into a corner. What does that mean to you? You got no choice, right? Okay, so you're backed into a corner and you're out of options. You got nowhere, literally nowhere to go if you're in a physical corner of a room. So do this to grow your faith. Look for opportunities to trust God. Allow yourself to be put into a corner where you say, okay, I've got to trust God now. Instead of running from those opportunities and always trying to play it safe so we have escape routes. You don't need any faith if you have escape routes. Look for opportunities to trust God. Your faith will be tested in those moments, and it will grow, okay? Everything is going perfect in your life. I was reading a guy who was at a pastor's conference, hundreds of pastors at this conference, and he had one guy during a question-answer time. He says, yeah, but I mean, everything's going perfect in my life. My life is going perfect. My wife loves me. My kids love me. The church, everything is perfect there at the church. And the speaker is like, you need to like step out of your comfort zone here, okay? You are not putting yourself in areas that's going to stretch your faith. Step outside of that box. Maybe we need to stop living in a safe zone and just step out into an area that's going to force us to trust God. Those three things will grow your faith. Let's pray. Father, we know we can trust you, and yet we struggle trusting you. Our faith is weak. God, help us to understand the simplicity of faith, really. It's just acting on your word, believing what your word says and acting on it. God, help us to put our faith in a corner. Allow ourselves to be stretched. God, I pray each one in here will spend time reading your word as well to increase their faith. In Jesus' name, amen.